Truthfully, who would think that a little cup of lemonade, you know, would end up bringing in what it brings, and also just the goodwill and the good spirit. I want to thank somebody very special. Everybody who worked on, I'm not taking anything away from you, so understand that. I appreciate everybody that worked, but I want to recognize somebody that doesn't, you know, likes to stay in the background and doesn't get much recognition, but does a ton of work. Talisa, thank you. You just did a marvelous job. And again, I'm not taking anything away from anyone, but I know she had things organized and was in here putting stuff together as only she can, and it really made it, helped it to go really well. So what a truly, truly great day, fun day it was. I want us to do something, but we're going to have to, in order to do this, we're going to have to get close. So if you're sitting at the end, come in this way, would you? You can move back after we're done with this, but just come together. Oh, anyway, just come in together for a moment. Uh-huh, somebody understood. All right, now what I would like for you to do is I would, once everybody is seated and next to each other, what I'd like for you to do is kind of turn and face this way. What is he doing? And if you are comfortable with this, and if you are not comfortable, please, you don't feel forced. I don't want to make anybody feel awkward or strange. But I want you to put your hands on the shoulders of the person in front of you. Those of you that don't have a person in front of you, just hold your hands down. Okay. Now, just give them a nice little massage in the Okay. Come on. You guys could... Bill, it's Chuck. It's okay. You can be friends, all right? Now, massage it out. Loosen up those muscles. No, keep going. You can't stop yet. That isn't enough. You know, I'll be sitting at a table sometimes, and people just come up and start rubbing my shoulders, and stress just goes away. All right, now, here's what I'd like you to do. Turn and face that way. Okay, because this is payback time, and get your hands on those shoulders and give them a nice massage. That's right. You feel any tight muscles there and kinks, just work them out. All right, you're doing good. Keep going. I see Keith is going to sleep. I know this is working. All right, you sit where you want or whatever if you need to move around. Jesus Christ was a person who was constantly under pressure. And it was really because of his popularity. People always wanted to be around Jesus, and they wanted to be around him because of who he was. And he had to seek out very personal times, very times of personal privacy, and sometimes it was very hard. Other people really misunderstood him. They criticized him. They ridiculed him. He had an enormous amount of stress in his life. By the way, does anybody in here this morning have stress in your life? Okay, for those who don't, would you please explain to me how? We all face it, but Jesus faced enormous, enormous stress from the things around him and the way his life was. And most of us, truthfully, if we had the pressure, we would cave under the pressure of the stress that was on Christ's shoulders. But as we look at the life of Jesus, we quickly learn and we discover that he remained at peace under extreme pressure. He was never in a hurry. He was always at ease. He had a calmness about his life that enabled him to handle this enormous stress that he faced. Well, how did he do it so successfully? You know, when we learn things, we want to learn it from Christ. And how did he do it so successfully? He based his life, folks, on sound stress management principles. And perhaps if we understood and apply these principles to our lives, maybe we can experience less pressure, and we can experience more peace of mind. So what are the principles? You got them in your bulletin this morning. I'm going to give you seven. And I tell you the truth, if you practice these seven principles in life, your life will be a lot less stressful. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus knew who he was. And here is the first principle for handling the stress in your life. Know who you are. You would be surprised the number of people that come in for counseling that have no idea who they are. And you say, oh, that's ridiculous. It's not. I've lost my identity. I don't know who I am anymore. And I don't know how this came about. I don't know what caused it. But I am for everybody else. But I don't know me. I don't know what to do for me or about me. And they've lost their identity. And it's critically important in stress management that you know that you have, that you know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, here's what's going to happen. You will let other people pressure you into being somebody you're not. Did you hear that? If you don't know who you are, you're going to allow other people to press you into being who you're not. And what happens is people come from many different directions, and so you find yourself being directed into this and directed into this and directed into this because they're saying that's who you are in all of these different arenas, and that's not you at all. I don't know about you. I know I felt this way before where I've stood back and I've looked at the world around me, and I've looked at the people that I interact with, and I've just said, if they really knew what's going on in here, if they really knew who I am in here. It's identification. And sometimes we get lost in that. And a lot of stress comes from wearing masks. And we try to be somebody we're not. People have expectations of us, and we try to live up to their expectations rather than being the person that God wanted us to be. We live double lives. We live under constant pressure. So what we need to figure out is who are we in God's sight? Is that the only one that matters? It doesn't matter. You know what, and I'm not trying to insult anybody, but I don't care what you think of me. I care what God thinks of me. And as I live my life, I'm not going to live my life, and I hope you can echo this, I'm not going to live my life to please you. I'm going to live my life to please God. By the way, if I am pleasing God, hopefully I'm pleasing you as well. Because that's the direction that he gives. Here's the fact. It's very simple. I am a child of God. I'm not an accident. I was put here on earth for a purpose. I am deeply loved by God. I am completely accepted by God. And he has a plan for my life and says that I'm valuable, that I am significant. And those facts have helped me to cope with a lot of stress in my life. But I want to tell you this. Because you are put here, and because you are here, you are significant to God. The Bible says this. It says you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You know, look at the person next to him and tell him, you know, you're a priest. That's what it says. Nobody's doing it. Okay. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own or for God's own possession. If you're a child of God, you are significant not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Can you say, I'm a child of God? All right, that's great. And I want you to believe that. I want you to know that because it's important. Because that's the first thing that we have to look at as we work through this idea of working on stress is identification. Whose are we? We are God's. And God pours everything into us that we need to live stress-free, comfortable lives once we identify who we are. By the way, when you really get hold of some of these principles, people might look at you and say, you're different. Something's happened. That's okay, because I tell you, it's all going to be good. Well, what Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And then in John 5:30, he says, myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but to please him who sent me. Who are we going to please? Him who sent me. Okay, him who made us, God, exactly. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew who he was trying to please. And it was his Father. That's our second principle we're talking about this morning, is dedication. I'm sorry, direction. Read it wrong here. Know who you want to please. And that's why I say, I'm not trying to be mean when I say I don't really care what other people think. My goal, my focus, my life is to please God and please him alone. And if people look at my life, and listen, today it happens, they look at my life and say, well, he's just some kind of a crazy Christian, or he's just one of those holy rollers, or any of the number of labels that Christians are getting today, you know what, that's fine. You can associate me with God anytime you want. I feel good about it, because that means I'm doing what God wants me to do. There's direction. Know who you want to please. You can please everybody. You can't please everybody, so you may as well try to please the most important one you can, and that's God. Jesus knew who he was trying to please, and it was a settled issue for him. He said, I am going to please my Father. And the Father replied, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't it be neat someday to hear the Father say that of us? Or Jesus say, hey, this is one of mine, and I'm so pleased. That's what we're called to. The Bible says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Yeah, the Bible in basic English, another version, it says it this way, let your first care be for his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you in addition. It's a great promise, and it means that if I focus on one thing and one thing only, and that's pleasing God, it will be able to simplify my life. And I like that, because life gets way too complicated. If my main goal is to please God, I'll always be doing the right thing. If your main goal is to please God, you'll always be doing the right thing. Think about that. How many bad decisions and choices do we make? How many times do we have our goals outside really the realm or the will of what God wants? And we ignore God and we forget about God and we say, I'm going to live my life. After all, God, you said it's my life. I can do whatever I want with it. If my main goal is to please God, I don't need to worry. And I don't need to worry about what anybody else thinks or what anybody else says about me. It's God and God alone that I'm dedicated to. And he will take care of me. And the fact that fact relieves a lot of the stress in my life. Because before I make that decision, before I make that action, I want to take that time to say, God, help me. When I wake up in the morning, and this is this every single morning, when I wake up, I say, Lord, let me do what you want me to do today. When I go to bed at night, the last thing I do before I go to sleep, I say, Lord, thank you for today, and I just hope that I have done what you wanted me to do today. Because I want to please God. And if I'm doing that, it doesn't matter what's going on. You know what? I can have a smile on my face. I can laugh at life's silly little stuff. And I can move forward. And so can you. God has placed you in that position to where you trust him and you let him guide and you let him lead. And life becomes so much better. The third principle is stress management. And as Jesus practiced it, we find John 4 or John 8:14, Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. Jesus knew. He knew that where he had come from, and he knew where he was going. Guess what, folks? We can have that same knowledge. We know we come from God because the Bible says that he knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb. And we know where we're going because the Bible said we're going to heaven if we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And there's this whole thing there that is a destination. Know your destination. Know what you want to accomplish. That's a part of your destination. And unless you know where you're going, how will you know if you ever get there? Plan your life. Set your priorities. Pursue your goals. And if you know what you want to accomplish, it will help relieve a lot of pressure in your life. I was talking to Barry yesterday, and Barry is one of the hardest working men I think I know. He puts in incredible hours doing very difficult work. It doesn't matter what the weather is or the elements, he still seems to be out there doing something. And I asked him a question. I said, are you busy enough that you know what you're doing the next day? And Barry's response was real simple. I know what I'm doing the next month. Know what you're doing. Know those plans. Know what is coming. And you know what? When that happens, we're not just tumbling through life waiting to see what happens. We're not just tumbling through life saying, okay, well, you know, Lord, what about today? Oh, okay, I'm going to get there somehow. No, we have a plan and we have directions. And you can determine if you're headed toward that goal if you work at it. It's easy to operate under busyness, isn't it? But do you really get anything done? Busy, 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 busy. Have you really accomplished anything just because you're busy? If you set a goal, then you can evaluate your steps toward the goal. And then you can determine the truth of, am I headed towards it or am I moving away? I heard it said one time, it seems to be a crazy habit of man that when he loses his way, he doubles his speed. It's like an Air Force pilot in World War II who flew over the Pacific. When he radioed in, the controller asked, "Where are you?" The pilot replied, "I don't know, but I'm making great time." A lot of people are like that. They're speeding through life, but they don't know where they're headed. And what happens when we don't know where we're headed? What happens when we don't know what God wants for us and the direction he's taken? What we don't know is this, that we are blown by every wind and every direction. And we bounce from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, thinking we're going to find happiness. And a lot of times this comes from, I'm going to buy a new this, I'm going to buy a new this, I'm going to move to here, I'm going to do this. And it's toys, 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 more, 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 money, money, money. And that's really what we begin to base ourselves on. That's not the goals we're talking about. Well, as somebody said, and I forgot, so I'm not going to share it. It was there, it's gone, but you guys still love me, right? Okay. People are just speeding through life, and they don't know where they're headed. And I just remembered, I heard it said one time that when we die, the one who has the most wins. What do you think about that? When we die, the one who has the most wins. No. Because nothing we accumulate here can go with us. What do you think would be our greatest thing we can accumulate in this life? All right, Calvin, just put it right out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't matter about stuff. It's God. Know where you're headed. Principle number four is concentration. Concentration. And some people tried to get Jesus detoured from his planned schedule. Some people tried to distract him from his goal in life. There's a story that we find in the Bible in Luke 4, verse 42 and 43. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Principle number four of stress management is this: concentration. Focus on one thing. We live in a world of multitasking, don't we? And somehow we have been taught this lesson. And us older folks, I'll be honest with you, we don't do well with this multitasking stuff. I'm talking about myself and Barb. She's older than me. Yeah, okay. There's the attitude. But we've been taught that you know, multitask, we've been told you got to do that, and yet really the focus that God wants in our lives is this idea of focus on one thing at a time. Jesus was a master at this, and it seemed that everybody tried to interrupt him. Everyone had a plan B for him, but Jesus always kept right on doing what he knew God had told him to do, what he was called to do. And I believe this verse tells us, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He was determined. He was persistent. He concentrated his efforts. You ever been in a situation where there seems to be too much to do? I'll tell you what, yesterday was a prime example. There's just too much to do, but you know what? Many hands makes light work. But we find ourselves all too often, I've just got too much to do. I got too many jobs to do. I got too many things to get done. And we're piling more and more and more. And you seem overwhelmed, and I know I've been there. Do you want to know how I've gotten through those times? Here's what I did. I started doing one thing at a time, and I would do this task and complete it. Then I'd move on to the next task, one task at a time. I don't know if you remember the TV show MASH, but Charles Emerson Winchester III had come on, and he was this great doctor. Remember where he's from? Boston. Okay, and he was up to be the great surgeon and all this, and he comes in and he's working really slow, and so Hawkeye starts talking to him and says, "Listen, you got to pick up the pace. We got more waiting. Got to pick up the pace." And I remember the line. I remember what he said. He looked at Hawkeye and he said this. He says, "I do one thing. I do it very well, and then I move on." You know, that's not a bad philosophy, is it? I do one thing, I do it very well, and then I move on. We pile our lives with so much stuff that we can't possibly be proficient at all of it. Someone has said, "Inch by inch, life's a cinch. Yard by yard, it's hard." And when I focus on one task at a time, I can get through it. Years ago when I worked for the state, and I would have so many properties I had to get to and so much timber I had to be in, and sometimes the timbers were large, and believe we'd have tracts up in the area that were 400, 500, 600 acres, or Mississippi Palisades, there's 2,000 acres there, and it would drive me insane because I'd start in working on this area and I knew I had other things that I needed to do, but I stayed there and finished it, and it became very frustrating because sometimes it would take me longer to finish it than I wanted to, but I had to finish that one before I could move on. You want to keep life simple, folks. Don't overload yourself. When we concentrate our efforts, we're more effective. Light diffused produces a hazy glow, but a concentrated light can produce a fire. When you use a magnifying glass to concentrate light on a dry leaf, you can catch that leaf on fire. Did anybody ever burn ants when they were a kid? I did. You take that light and you get it down there on the ants, and it'd burn them. There'd be a little smoke come off. That was so cool. We had fun doing that. I may have to do it today. Jesus did not let interruptions prevent him from concentrating on his goal. He did not allow other people to make him tense or stressed or irritated. He concentrated on the task at hand. This next principle to help you be able to manage your stress and control your stress. Some people really kind of freak out when I share this with them, but I do promise you it's extremely biblical. It's called meditation. It's something that Jesus practiced. It's something that's also gotten a bad name in our society today because a few years ago or several years ago, they came out with this whole transcendental meditation, out-of-body experience, blah, nonsense, hoo-ha, okay? Meditation is nothing more than deep thought on something or someone. Mark 1:35 says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You know, praying is meditation because it's that deep thought on God. And Jesus thought it was necessary to do that. And he often got up early in the morning and he went and he prayed. He often sought out a time to pray where he could be alone. And so for that reason, the fifth principle of stress management is meditation. Make a habit, folks, of personal prayer. Prayer is a gigantic stress reliever. This week I had somebody come in my office and was just all balled up in knots, all stressed out and just didn't know what to do next. And pretty much the only thing I did with her is I said, after talking for a while, I said, let's pray. And we took time and we prayed together. And it was kind of cool because I look for giveaways in people to see if they're really getting it. And she did, because when she got done, she stood up. And before she left, I saw this. We call those cleansing breaths, by the way, because that means you're just letting go. That means that you understand and that you're now back in a normal way of life. And she was very thankful. I didn't do anything. I didn't do a thing. All we did was pray. And you can do that. You can do that. Gigantic stress reliever. It's a God-given tool for letting go of your anxieties. And no matter how busy Jesus got, he made it a practice to spend time alone with God. And if Jesus made time for prayer when he was busy, how much more do you and I need prayer? A quiet time. A getting alone with God time. And it can be a decompression chamber for life's stresses. We talk with God in prayer and we tell him what's on our mind. And we listen to what he has to say to us. I want you to listen to this next verse very carefully because we fail at this. Be still. Another way to put it, be quiet. Another way to put it, shut up. Okay? Be still and know that I am God. Simple. Let go of everything. Quit trying to interrupt. Quit trying to inject yourself into the situation. Be still, be silent, be quiet. Shut up and let God be God. Be still and know that I am God. And that comes straight from the Word. That's Psalm 46:10. And many of our problems come from our inability to sit still. We just don't know how to be quiet. Most of us, a lot of us, we don't like to be still. We want to be on the move. Well, I want to do something, and I'm going to do it quickly, but I want to give you one little, because I just like to give these tools, one little quick tool for you today. Some of you I've done this with, some of you I haven't. I ask that you would cooperate. The only thing I want to say is don't think the pastor's lost his mind and don't think that he's batty. I may be, but don't think that way. But I want to do this because I want to give you something, because this being still and knowing that God is God is something that can be very simple and it can be a conscious act. So I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't normally ask you to do, and you do it anyway. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. I'm looking. I see who is and who isn't. This is for your good, not mine. Now, what I want you to do, guys, everybody in this room has some kind of stress going on. There is something in your life that is pushing you. There is something in your life that is just compressing you in such a way that sometimes you feel like you're going to explode. There's something in your life right now that you just would like to give it to God. You'd like to get rid of it. So right now, with your eyes closed, I want you to think about that. And then what we're going to do is this. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to take in a very deep breath. And as you take in that deep breath, here's what I want you to think about. This is just a simple thing. As you take in that deep breath, when I tell you to, I want you to think about Jesus Christ coming into your life right where you are today, right where your situation is today, right where your stress is today. I want you, as you breathe in, to think about Christ coming in. And then when we exhale, what I'd like for you to do is I'd just like for you to exhale. And what I'd like you to think about as you exhale is all the stress, all the pain, the hurt, whatever it is inside you, all the junk, all the garbage. As you exhale, you're just blowing it out. We breathe in through our nose with a big, deep breath, and then we purge it with our lips, blowing it out. We breathe God in, and we exhale all the junk. Listen, I want you to sit there for a minute. I'm going to talk you through it and think about those things. So if you would right now, just take a big breath in. Then exhale, and there goes the junk. Jesus in. The junk out. Jesus in. And junk out. And just do her one more time. Would you? Thinking about the stuff that's probably causing you stress and worry. You breathe in Jesus. And junk out. Okay, you can open your eyes. That's a simple, simple way to get focused on God. That is a very simple way, folks, to be still and know that He is God. Because what happens is you're saying, I accept Jesus Christ. I'm calling Him into my life. And you know what? There's not room in here for God and junk. One's going to cause pressure. One's going to relieve it. And so when we breathe in and we ask Christ, say, here, Lord, just come right now. And what it is inside me, I just want to get rid of that. I don't like the stress, so I'm going to exhale. And there it goes. It's gone. I give it to you, God, because I don't need it. And that leads us into a time of prayer. And I know that as I share this, there's probably the possibility that some of you think that's weird and you think the pastor's gone crazy. And I hope not, because I want you to have the things that you can use in life. And sometimes just taking a couple of minutes and getting off by yourself and practicing that little breathing technique will help. Start your morning with prayer. That's what Jesus did. And throughout the day, yeah, we need to stop and pray again. And that'll help recharge us spiritually and get our spiritual batteries going. Keeping connected to God is vital for stress management. Look at what Jesus said in Mark 6, verse 31. Then, because so many were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." They were busy people. And people were coming and going. The crowds were getting bigger. And notice that Jesus didn't say to them, "Okay, guys, pick up the pace." He didn't say to them, "Work harder because we have to keep up." No. He said, "Come away with me and rest for a while." Here's our sixth principle of stress management: relaxation. Oh, I like that one. I was wondering if you're going to get to it. Yeah, relaxation. By the way, that's the name of my motorcycle. Take time to rest. And this is a principle of relaxation and recreation. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "You need a break today," and that wasn't for McDonald's. "You need to get some rest. So let's take time off." And they got in the boat and they rowed to the other side of the lake and went out in the desert to rest. Now, we don't think of going out in the desert to rest, but remember, they were with Jesus. And one reason why Jesus could handle stress is that he knew when to just unwind. You ever feel that way? Just get away from it all. Folks, let me tell you, rest and recreation in life are not optional. You can't work, fuss over this, fuss over that, work on your job, work at home, take care of everything that's got to be. No, you got to have that time of rest. I'll tell you what, rest is so important that God actually included it in one of the Big Ten. That's how important it is. Exodus 31:15. "For 6 days, work is to be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. It's holy to the Lord, and whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death." I'm glad we live by grace, because if we didn't, there could be a lot of people put to death. The Sabbath was made for man because God knows that our physical, our emotional, and spiritual constitutions demand periodic breaks. And Jesus survived stress because he knew how to rest and he knew how to get away from it all. And it brings us up actually to our last principle this morning, and it's called dedication. Dedication. I love this. It's one of my favorite passages, and I've got many, but some just stick with you. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Can you imagine this? Can you picture this? I mean, God is here, Jesus is here, and Jesus is saying, "Come on, crawl up in my lap. But, you know, get comfortable." And he says, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28-30. The final principle of stress management is dedication. Folks, give your stress to Christ. If you notice in the passage, there's two action words in that passage. One is to come, and the other is to take. And if you want to relieve, or if I want to relieve my stress, I just need to come. Come to him, look at what he says. He says, "I will give you rest." Christ didn't say, "Come to me and I will give you more guilt He didn't say, come to me and I'll give you more stress and more worries. Jesus said, I will give you rest. And folks, listen, that is a promise. He will give us rest if we come to him. But also he says, take. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And he goes on to tell us, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Listen, all of us carry burdens around in life. Some of them are heavy. Some of them are awkward. Some of them are old. Some of the burdens that we carry around go back 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago. But we've never let it go. We've never really let God have it. And so we still carry those burdens. Jesus said, bring it to me. I don't care how old it is. Give it to me. Take my yoke. Take his yoke. And you'll find rest for your souls. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, that's something I need. It's something I have to have, is that Christ is there taking care of the burdens and the stress and the things that would just drive me insane. So what do you need? Do you need rest for your soul? If you do, then you dedicate your life to Christ and you come to him and you trust in him and you learn from him. Folks, these are the keys to stress management. And there's all kinds of books out there written by all kinds of secular authors telling you all kinds of goofy things to do to find relief. And you know what? We've had the answer in our hands for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's called the Bible. And we've got somebody to look at and learn from. It's called Jesus. And so today, if you walk away from here and you're carrying burdens and carrying stress, just go back and look over what we talked about this morning. Because I want you to have a stress-free life, and so does God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the lessons in life that we learn from your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for just being here with us and speaking to us. I pray, Father, for those who are here that maybe are carrying a lot of burdens, that they're maybe really stressed and they just beyond anything they can handle, that maybe they'll practice these seven things, Lord, and that they would learn to really let all the stress be determined and handled by you. So, Father, I just lift this up to you as I lift this congregation to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, it's our wonderful opportunity to share communion together. As we share this, I want to explain that we here believe that anyone who believes in Jesus Christ and has received him as Savior and Lord, we invite them to join us in participating. I'm turning pages and trying to talk at the same time. In being a part of this, it's a communion where believers come together and just remember the shed blood, and I've got to get back to my pages. Would you believe I had this marked? Anybody else want to come up and do this? There it is. As many times as I've done it, I probably don't need my notes, but I like to have them. We believe that it's the will of the Holy Spirit, as is manifested in the voice of this church, that you may serve as leaders in various tasks, that you may serve God in the things that you do. And as we come today, as believers, We come and we break communion and we share communion together, which was practiced by Christ as something that he did with his disciples. And all are welcome to participate. One criteria: that you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So I'm going to ask if the elders would come forward. Folks, we come to a table of communion not as examples of perfection, but we come as witnesses of grace. We come in remembrance of the self-giving love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to remember that we are part of his whole great family, the Church of God. And we want to remember that it is his blood that was shed for all, and in his name I invite everyone that strives to follow him to join in this memorial of the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Let us give thanks. Heavenly Father, we do come and we remember that Jesus, he came and his body was broken for us. And he knew it, and he knew what he had come to this world for. And through that broken body, Father, we have been set free from sin. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But still he came. Father, as we would have this communion this morning, I just ask your blessing upon the wafer that, Father, this is done in remembering Christ, remembering his body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name. Jesus said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat it together. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave to them, and they all drank of it. Let us give thanks together. Heavenly Father, the hardest thing that we think about and realize is the tremendous amount of blood that flowed from the body of Christ. From the crown of thorns that pierced his head, to an arrow pierced in his side where water and blood flowed together. Father, remember that all of that was cleansing. that blood was shed for us. Even though we didn't deserve it, Father, Jesus surrendered all. And through his blood, we are healed. Through his blood, we are saved. And Father, as we take this cup this morning, we just ask that that would be done in remembering the sacrifice that was made. We lift it up in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "This cup is a new covenant in my body. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us drink it together." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for your message and for your word. We thank you, Father, for your desire that lives be lived free of stress and free of worry. And Father, we thank you so much for this communion, that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and together we can remember. Together we can understand the forgiveness you give. So, Father, I pray your blessings on each one as we go from here today. Just fill each one with joy, fill each one with your peace and your comfort, and help us to never forget that our salvation was bought at a great price. And I pray that we would remember that and appreciate that. We lift all of this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.